In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the feast day of Helen of the Cross. Helen, who is the mother empress of Constantine. I can't seem to find the readings in here. It'll take a long time, and I think you all get the gist of what the readings are anyway. It's the great reading from Proverbs 31. You can look it up later if you want to about what the great woman is. And then that great reading that we have from the Gospels that talks about the good and wise steward knows how to take both that which is old and new out from his storehouses. That's the way it concludes. We have these readings all the time to be able to go through. St. Helen of the Cross is one of these great saints who we're going to have an opportunity to experience the celebration of one of the greatest things that she does on the 14th of September. You know what that is, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross of our Blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That is why she is called Helen of the Cross, because she, not merely because she aided in the conversion of her son Constantine to the Catholic religion, who legalized the Christian religion and then later on made it the religion of the empire, for which we can give thanks to his great work of consummating that beautiful act of making it a legalized and protected and much enshrined religion, where one of his successors would later on make it the official religion of the Roman Empire. But this great woman did so much to be able to not just, even though she came to the faith, as all the annals of history say, came late to the faith, like many of us have come late to the faith, to an understanding of who Christ is, yet she did so with such vigor within her life, such love for the Lord, that it made it as though she was making up for lost time. You and I should think about that within our own lives. Coming late to the faith, coming late to an understanding of the faith, maybe even late to an understanding of the traditional gifts that we have received in the faith, well, are we making up for all those years which we lost? Today, gloriously, we celebrated the baptism of another one of our young children, thanks be to God, who received the faith right there in the back of the church just moments ago. This child being raised in this faith, God willing, through the work of their parents and godparents, good pastors, and through the whole of the Christian community, will be raised in this beauty of the traditional faith. We can give thanks to God for that. Not so many of us had that same grace. But what did St. Helen do with her life? As soon as she came to the faith, as soon as she saw the beauty of life in Christ revealed to her, she spent every moment that she had studying about it. She was intrigued by the beauty that it had there. She was overwhelmed by the greatness where it said within the scriptures how there is neither Jew nor Greek, where there is neither slave nor free, where there is not even a distinction between woman or man. She said, how could this religion give about something of such great freedom where all could be one in Christ? St. Helen was known to not even her son gave her the greatest of all places. In fact, he proclaimed that her name would be changed, where she would be called Augusta. She would be Augusta. You can maybe remember Caesar Augustus, the highly favored one, the one who is the greatest. Well, because her son recognized how great she was, each of us as sons should recognize how great our mothers are. He extended her such a great honor to where all would recognize that greatness, calling her even thereto to be recognized as an equal to, in name and title, to that of the great Caesar Augustus. How did she wear that Augusta title? She went around everywhere she was with a badge that said Augusta all over it. She went with those before her proclaiming, look, here who comes is the Augusta one. She took out billboards and put them up with her face on it in great poses so that everybody would know she was the Augusta one. You're smiling because you know that's not what she did. That's not what she did at all. She did none of those things. What she did was she sought to follow Christ, and so she associated with those who were lowly. She went to Mass, even though she was the one who acquired the building for it and enshrined it and enriched it, and made sure that the priests were provided for. But she went in there just like a common woman would. She served in taking care of the flowers. She served in taking up the property of cleaning the place. She made sure that everything was cared for as though she was the domina of the home. In fact, maybe even as a doula of the home. That is to say, a slave of the home, caring for the home, our Lord's house, even though she's the one who provided for it. She didn't just provide the funds, she provided the work and sought that those who were weak among them, those who had nothing to eat or to drink or to care for themselves, she was the one who handed those out individually, not merely providing for the things to be done so. What we do often is we remember her as being the one who retrieved the Holy Cross from the Holy Land. A great grace, we'll meditate upon that later on next month. We think of her often as one who brought back the entirety of the Holy Land, taking up even the steps where we have the Santa Scala there in Rome, or the pillar which is there, or all the other implements of the Passion which she rescued from that place there within the Holy Land so that it would be preserved in Rome. Otherwise, God in his foresight saw what he was doing, bringing all these things to be preserved in Rome so that when the Mohammedans would come and seek to destroy the faith within the Holy Land, that these things would still be preserved. Yet you and I should remember her for the way in which she bore her dignity, which was living as low, recognizing Christ is the one who is the all in all, who makes each one of us alike. Consider the distinctions that we make between ourselves and others. Oftentimes, we don't live our lives as making distinctions as I'm a rich person, you're a poor person, or I'm a well-to-do, or this, or I'm an intellectual, or that. But oftentimes, what we will do is we will make a distinction in other ways, making a distinction between the way that I maybe live my life in the faith and maybe the way that somebody else does not live the life in the way of the faith very well. So we'll criticize somebody for not giving themselves to particular fasting, which we are doing. We'll look down upon those often who do not seem to study about the sacred liturgy as maybe we have given ourselves to. Sometimes we will look down upon those who are still struggling with more carnal sins, a more difficult lifestyle that we ourselves have overcome maybe long ago. But what does our Lord call you and I to do? To be patient with those who are weak. Oftentimes, these things are not that we come out and do them, but rather they happen to be in ways in which we allow our face to betray what's going on in our hearts. Or when somebody is excited about something that they just learned about the faith, where we go, oh yeah, I learned that long ago. Instead of seeing their excitement on their face and joining them in that and saying, wow, that's great, amazing. This is the way to truly associate with the lowly, to make sure that there is no distinction, to share in our brother and sister's joy, and especially as wiser older brothers and older sisters here within the faith, to remind them when they fall, when they don't live up to the way in which they know that they should, to point out to them the little successes that they have made. That's what a good older brother or a good older sister does. We see this within the life of Saint Helen of the Cross. She's known as Helen of the Cross, yes, because she found the cross of our Lord. She's also could be seen as Helen of the Cross because she's one who knew how to lift up the crosses of others to make them lighter. Let's ask our Lord for that imitation of Helen of the Cross in these days, to seek during these times ways in which we can lighten the crosses, to lighten the burdens of others who are there, especially in the way which we associate with the lowly, or as we've spoken about today, to associate more and more with those who are coming into the faith, struggling with the faith, and seeking to grow in the faith, to share in their joy, so that together with all the saints, like the saints which we celebrate today, Helen of the Cross, our joy in heaven might be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.